Blog Talk Radio.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Just wait.
Internet Radio Ministries. We have Chaplain John Durden, who's going to be bringing a teaching on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has so much. The Pentecostal experience, the Holy Spirit in the denominational church, two separate experiences, salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit within his indwelling presence, the Holy Spirit upon his infilling power. It is scripture to tarry for the Holy Ghost. How important it is in speaking in tongues, the Bible evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of the spirit, gifts of faith, gifts of the working of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, divine, kind, different types, diverse of tongues. We got a lot of them. We don't know where Chaplain Durden going to go, but we know that the Holy Spirit is going to lead him, going to guide him. We want to thank Dr. Pilmington for allowing this opportunity to bring Chaplain John Durden into a church, Baptist Church in Wilmington, Alabama. I also want to thank Dr. T.R. Montgomery from Hillside Baptist Church in Vittville, Mississippi. We want to thank, Brother McNugget from allowing Chaplain Durden to come in his services at Sunshine Harvest, the Church of God in Christ. Chaplain Durden, good evening and Merry Christmas
good
to
evening,
you. Thank
sir.
You for blessing me with $100. You came over. I thank you for being a blessing to me. I've been knowing you for many years, a man of God's heart, learning to minister of deliverance at an older age. And about 15 years ago, I met Chaplain Durden, and the journey of my deliverance ministry started through his office where he worked at. It was a hospital chaplain for South Fulton Hospital. Upon his teachings, Dr. Philip Montgomery, Reverend E.D. McMichael, says, "Chaplain Durden, can you please give your education, and we can start the sermon off after his education is present and given presentation toward his education." He has 1 hour and 54 minutes after Chaplain John Durden is complete with his sermon. He's just going to say amen. Brother John, you got 1 hour and 54 minutes. It's up to you. And Reverend Leroy Hawkins also says education, and you can begin your sermon without any uninterrupted music or anything. You have the mic now for 1 hour and 54 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John speaking to you. For some of you who didn't hear what my educational background was, I have three master's degrees. The first one I received was in human resources. I wasn't even thinking about becoming a chaplain or a minister or anything. I was a senior deacon at my church, at Liberty Baptist Church. But the Lord called me into the ministry, and with that being said, it about blew my mind. Somebody, I think, want me to repeat about my education. I have three master's degrees. The first one was in human resources. That's going to college and getting a master's if you want to be in personnel administration. So I majored in personnel administration. And as a result, I got a job as an intern with the federal government, recruiting people for federal positions. And in mid-years, when I got into my 40s, I was elevated to the senior personnel administrator for the Department of the Army out at Fort McPherson here at Atlanta, Georgia. So I served as a personnel administrator and counselor and senior advisor for 30 years. And then when I retired, the Lord called me to the ministry, and I went to seminary. And there I received two master's degrees. One was in theology, another one was in Christian counseling. And as a result of those two degrees, I served as a chaplain for 25 years. And I retired like 2 years from now. Yeah. So with that being said, I understand that the listening want me to say a few things about the Holy Spirit. So before I do that, let us go into prayer. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, boldness, and may our minds, spirits be alert and clear. When I say may our minds, I'm talking about the mind of Christ. I'm talking about the flesh and the mind. May our mind be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, Father God. Not only that, I pray that your words, Father, would bring salvation, would bring healing and deliverance to all here in your presence today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth I pray. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I rebuke you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not interfere in this session today. Do you hear me? I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, and you demonic forces, you will not have any effects on the sermon today. It's in Jesus' name. I command you to shut up and go about your business. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. The session is on the Holy Spirit. You know, I think I was going to open this way, but I felt led of the Spirit because, you know, being an old Baptist, I had some problems about, well, you know, God don't speak to us verbally, you know, anymore. We have His written word, so we don't have to worry about hearing God speak to us, hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to us, anything like that. But I was ignorant in those days. Then finally, I decided, because I ran across other folks, other pastors who were in other churches, were really hearing the Lord. And I was just shocked to find out that half of them that I met wasn't even writing the thing. They were just following the Holy Spirit. These men and women of God just step up at the pulpit and faith and just say, okay, Lord, say, this is your sermon for today. I couldn't believe my ears. With no paper, no nothing on that podium, you think the man had 500 doctorate degrees by the time he got through. So the time I said, wow, this thing is really real. So I took out the challenge to the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, you know, and say, hey, I want to hear you. You know, I'm 40 years old, Lord. Let me hear your voice. You know, I know we have your word, but I want to hear your, I want you to speak to me sometimes too, this kind of thing. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. And then I finally, I got really serious. And then one night I was in the bedroom saying, Lord, I need to hear your voice, you know. And I appreciate any help you can give me. Then thoughts came into mind to get a pencil and a paper, the thing, and I started writing. And this was came into my spirit. Mind you, I'm careful not to say mine, okay? If you say mine, you're talking about the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Why, I wrote these notes down as it was feeding my spirit. It says, while going through some old spiritual books and devotionals, I discovered these words printed on one of my old Bible, which was about 6, 7, 8 years, from years back. It was written as a letter to me. And when I read the thing, this is what it says, my son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. I do not shout over the daily turmoil sounds of the average household. My voice is not weak, but it is very quiet, calm, and severe. It takes, John, complete surrender on your part before you can hear it. That surrender must be complete, soul, body, and spirit. I do not answer casual inquiries, son. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice, not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk. I go, oh, I turn the page. Nobody one says, I said, Lord, let me sum the thing up, what you just said to me. You know, so I sat back and wrote. Then I came up, I kind of sum up what God said to me. And this is my personal intake, what I got out of his discussion with me. I got one. God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, her position, or accomplishment. He don't give a flip about none of those things. He don't care how many degrees you got. He didn't ask none of us to go get all these magnificent degrees, 40, 50, and all these different titles and all that. He said, I want you to be humble. I want you to follow me and follow me rightly. Don't follow me on Sunday and follow your flesh on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He said, and then I wrote another paragraph. I said, God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person, our spirit, and his favor rests on those whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him in love, faith, and purity. He don't want no crap for none of us. We can't jive God. Okay, we can hide from mama. We can hide from our parishioners and everything else. But the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit keeping us in check. They know what we're doing. Then I wrote another little note. I got from my discussion on my hearing the Lord spiritually, I have, God does not prefer, you know, just straighten me out too. God does not prefer the love, the fellowship, and prayers of the educated more so than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. He's looking at us, our spirit. You know, in my young days, I remember I met a lot of godly men who didn't have one kind of degree, and those men got sold out to the Lord. I mean, I said, wow, man, I don't know how you got like that. Maybe someday I can get like that, like you, kind of a thing. You got to remember, moreover, God does not prefer, because that's the first thing they always, every time you call them, they say, you be careful what you say now. I got $3 now. I'm going to monitor you like I suppose a crap in my pants. I'm going to be monitoring what you said, boy, you know, this kind of thing, you know. I could tell a few things, but the Holy Spirit said, no, just keep cool. So moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the uneducated. Okay? He accepts all from every nation who fears him. That's a key word, who fears him and do what is not right. And you know what? In my year and a half working with, I mean, really intimately with Brother Emmett, couldn't find out, only work with those who fear me. And do you know from my past experience, I didn't have work with Brother Emmett, I find out most of these guys fear their wife and fear their neighbors, what they say about them and what they think about them more than their wife. A lot of them have lost their wives because the wife finally found out what they've been doing. I'm talking about men and women of all walks of life, not just one sector, but all walks of life. Then I came with this final conclusion. I said, once a person turns his, her, life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. It means walking by faith, which includes opening oneself to the miracles in the ministry of the Father, the Son, and the Holy, Holy Spirit. There's another thing I want to share with you, before I really get into the deep thing of it, is, let's see, the various ways God speaks to us, and I'm just going to focus in on the Holy Spirit, because there's all other kind of ways He speaks to us. Personally, He speaks to us through men and women of God. He speaks to us through pastors, assistant pastors, through bishops, and so forth. But I like to start off this way. The various ways God speaks to us. Now, since we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to address the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to address how God speaks to us, how Jesus speaks to us. I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit. I got, first of all, the Holy Spirit is what we know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's the third person of the Trinity, equal from the Father and the Son in essence. Now, since one of the main aspects of God's nature is that He is a person, well, it follows that the Holy Spirit is a person. As we all know, the Bible warns Christians, to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what that means. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also, He has the ability to what? To exercise His will with us by His own choice. The Holy Spirit accomplishes numerous, y'all, numerous specific acts, such as giving us different gifts, but I'd like to share a few moments on. He is the one that gives us the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and so forth. And I want to explain in Saint what each one of those gifts do. Those gifts are for us, that the Holy Spirit got. He said, hey, you're in the world, and you're going to need some help. And having a machine gun, having a bow and arrow, having a whip and all that is not going to help at all against spiritual forces. You know, Ephesians 6 chapter talk about our enemies are invisible beings, those demonic spirits. Okay. So the Holy Spirit also has the activity and ability of will and ability to exercise His will. By His own choice, folks, by His own choice, the Holy Spirit accomplishes numerous specific acts such as giving private gifts and spiritual gifts and dividing to every person severely as He will. In other words, He know our will, He know our talents, He know our abilities, and He's the one that created us. So He dispenses His gifts to different men and women, different types, for the development of Christians in this world. Some have the gift of singing, some have the gift of dancing, some have the gift of computer knowledge, some have the gift of teaching, some have the gift of preaching and singing and so forth. And God dispenses those gifts to each one of us according to His all-knowing knowledge. And you got to remember, both liberal theologians and extreme religious cults deny the personality. You know, a lot of people are, ain't no such thing, a Holy Spirit, you know, it's kind of the same. And some liberals will acknowledge He is portrayed as a person, but claim the scripture is communicating a myth. I don't know how, that's what they think, you know, kind of a thing. So I want to go in a little more now in talking about the Holy Spirit. Remember now, He is the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaker's nature to communicate through the believers. And He also can consider the following. Listen at this, what He does as a person. He says, well, you know, He's a Holy Spirit. No, He's not a person. No. He's a spiritual person. And how do we know? Because the Bible says He teaches, He testifies, He comforts. You know, I can go on, I can give you the scripture, but this makes things go along. If I say He teaches, you find that in John 14:26. He testifies, you find that in John 15:26. He comforts us, John 16:7-8. And so on. He intercedes for us in Romans 8:26 and so forth. He works. Now, with that being said, those actions cannot be accomplished by a mere influence of force. The Holy Spirit is in charge. Only a rational, emotional, and active person could do all that the Scripture teaches the Holy Spirit, okay? As we can see, the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature. No, I must say, speaking nature, He teaches, He testifies, He comforts, and so forth, and He likes us and everything. So as we can see, the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believers. And moreover, remember this, the Holy Spirit is the most impartial person to us in our spiritual walk. He's the one that we're going to be dealing with. He's the one that's going to be carrying on the messages. Sometimes he speaks to us, but he has that role where he gives us spiritual gifts and everything else that we need. And you know, the spiritual gifts are really for our benefit and for our help. We need those spiritual gifts. We can't beat the enemy. You know, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, talks about who our enemy is. He's talking about their spiritual beings, talking about devils and demons and all the different various types of demons and stuff like that, angels, head angels, and so forth. So we need to, we can't defeat the, Satan and his demons by going, you know, not knowing the word of God. And we have to know what those weapons are, and you find those weapons identified in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Talk about the gift of word, wisdom, word of knowledge, and so forth, which I will explain. Okay. As we grow in hearing the voice of God, we will be able to distinguish when God is king and speaking to us, okay, when he's speaking to us. That's one part. There's other ways God speaks us through a small voice, but I want to focus in on the spirit of that at this time. Okay, I want to get into some more stuff. We must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, you know, not our mind. Sure, we're supposed to use our mind, but not like not in spiritual things. Maybe use our mind and how to cook and how to, you know, pay bills and stuff like that. But when it comes to spiritual things, he wants us to be guided explicitly by the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly, accurately, and precisely know the natural way and voice of God. To hear the voice of God, perceive the Holy Spirit, because in most cases, he's always speaking and carrying on a message sometimes with Jesus, because, you know, Jesus said, I want to say what my Father say. And then the Holy Spirit come behind that. After, when he got down and said, hey, I want to say what Jesus say. In other words, man, they're in unison. Yeah, that shocked me. You know, I thought, yeah, but I guess sometimes they do their own thing. But in most cases, I guess I would say 99.9% of the times, the word of God says, Jesus said, I only do what my Father tell me to do and say. And then here comes the Holy Spirit, I only do, and I only say what Jesus of Nazareth say. I said, wow, you really got a unison thing going on there. So in order to speak for God, listen up now, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's how Brother Emmett teaches and preaches. He don't, in the whole 17 years I've been knowing that, though, he have never written no whole sermon and going up, getting up every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in his office and going, and the Lord says, and the Lord says, you know. And every time he would call me and say, Brother John, I don't know what I'm going to say. I said, so what's the problem? I've got to go teach it in 5 more minutes. And I go, what? You know, and I heard that for the past 15 years. All the last teaching he'd been doing all last week and week before, that fellow ain't had nothing written down. He'd sit there and go, Brother John. I'd say, oh, no, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to say, you're supposed to go in about 5 minutes from now, but you don't know what the sermon's going to be. I said, aren't you used to it? No, man. It's nerve-wracking sometimes to get him down and get ready to speak. But he says, you know, I'm going to do what the Lord says. I don't care what anybody says. I feel God when I feel man. I said, that I know. You know? So, in order to speak for God, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit, folks. You can be saved, but guess what? But you still would need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. That is the Holy Spirit who possesses the speaking nature to communicate through the believer. He can speak, folks. God is a speaking spirit, and through the Spirit, we understand spiritual things and the nature of God. In other words, when we're reading the scriptures and stuff like that, try to rely mostly on what the Holy Spirit is telling you it is saying. Sure, we're intelligent. Sure, we got 1 degree, 2 degrees, and everything else. But you got to remember, those degrees is just mind thinking and mind analysis. That's what it is, mind thinking, and it is mind analysis, okay? Now, let me shut this door. This door happened to open and music coming out of the hallway. OK. Okay, I'm back. So, we got to watch what we say. The Holy Spirit possesses a nature and communicates through believers. That's what he always doing, just give us our assignment and everything else. God is a speaking spirit, and through the Spirit, we must understand the spiritual things and the nature of God. So we have to interact with him through the Spirit. Not our mind. Maybe our mind handle worldly things, but when it comes to spiritual things, we want the mind of Christ. Okay? Moreover, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual calling, and in our ministry, and in our life. He got to be 100% involved. He got to be 100% involved. And briefly, we will understand when we have that personal relationship with the Lord, our role, our function, and our nature in action with the Holy Spirit. The person speaking and working and through us daily, that's him. And one more thing, as we embrace and appreciate the role and function of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in hearing the voice of God. And that's what I'm still working on. I don't think I ever try anything as hard as that I'm doing now. And there's so many corrections and so many things you need to take from your spirit and from your flesh and everything else. Because this man is just going, say, Lord, I'm ready to hear your voice. Okay, you hear my voice now. Don't work that way, man. He knows our spirit, our thinking, our heart, and everything else. And God don't play. And God will not speak to you when you're trying to have a conversation with him. No, we got to be real. He don't want you to try to say, well, I'm going to see if he can or cannot speak to us, if he still do that today, because, you know, we have his written word. God said, yeah, you have my voice, too. If you just sit down and act right and live right, then you can have my voice, too. Yeah, I gave you the written word. I gave you the written word, so if you forget something, you can look in the book. But I appreciate if you come and talk to me every day so we can chit-chat and fellowship together, because there's some things I want you to do. There's some things I want to share with you that's not written in that book. And I go, excuse me, Lord. So moreover, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, in our journey, because you know what? We all have problems, family problems, work problems, and associate problems, and all these other kinds of things. And you mean to tell me before you know what to do, you got to do one or two things. Use your mind, your intellectual doctor mind. You know, just because you got intellectual mind, educated mind, that don't mean that. It's like you got a lot of folks, I got doctor degrees, I know that can interpret the scripture all out of context. You know why? Because most of our thinking comes from the person who taught us. So if your teacher, when you were in seminary or wherever you came from, is of some view, and you're sitting under that lady or that man, you're going to receive it, just like your child. Your child believes everything you say. You got to remember now, don't do this and don't do that, and blah, 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 tell you how to get along and tell you what to do. And that's mom and daddy talking. I'm doing mom and daddy because they know what they're talking about. They're grown. Well, just because you got a degree from college, that don't mean that you are correct in all evaluations or interpretation of the scripture, because the majority of the time you're using your fleshly mind. God wants us to use our spiritual mind, the mind of Christ. We got to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So moreover, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. He tell you we go, what to do, just like Brother Emmett is an example. The young man never did go to college. Well, he did. He get one quarter. But in years, I saw the young man get up there 2 or 3 minutes before it's time for him to teach, and almost in tears and looking at me like he's about to pull his hair out. And I said, just be cool. He said, I know this is hard, John. You ain't never had to do that. You always prepared your sermons, and you always did this, and you always. And he said, me? God, do it to me. I said, well, that's because you didn't progress in the education department like you would like to because of family background and stuff like that. But you know what? I said, let me tell you one last time, Brother Emmett. I said, God knows your heart. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. You love him, man. Ain't no woman can make you go to bed with him. No fag can make you go to bed with him. None of that junk, man. You're right. Well, I fear God. I said, that's what God likes to hear. That's what we work with. I said, because my experience, I find that most of these guys fear their wives and their friends more so than God. Don't you tell my wife. Don't you tell my wife. You know, this kind of a thing. Don't you tell my husband. Don't you tell my husband. See? Most of them fear God more than their own spouse. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. And he aids us by giving us spiritual gifts that Brother M mentioned a couple of minutes ago, and I'm going to describe. And you go, wow, you mean we put that aside? Because every time I talk to a fellow brother, whatever it is, well, we don't need all that. We have his written word. I say, yeah, suppose a demon come and talk to you now. You know, can you hear the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit can tell you what to do and what you can say to fend off that demon? No. You mean demons are real? I say, oh, my God. You know. So, in working us is the Holy Spirit. We can embrace and appreciate the role and the function of the Holy Spirit. We can grow in hearing the voice of God. And that's what I'm working, because I really want to hear him with all my heart. You know, sometimes we'd be talking in, let's see, just the other day I went to get my shot, you know, for the virus thing. And what happened was they asked me if I had the report, the card that I've done for the last two shots, you know, kind of a thing. And I go, yeah, I don't have it anymore, but I took it on this day. He said, sir, you need to tell us what kind of shots you had. And I go, I don't know, man. I can't remember them crazy names and everything. I said, I'm sorry, nothing we can do. Maybe you need to go to the health department. I said, dog. So I got in the car and left the place where they would take giving people shots. And by chance, I decided to call Brother Ennis. So I pull over on the side. That's where I left the building altogether. And he said, hey, Brother John, what's that? I said, man, I am peed off. He said, what's the matter? I said, I drove way out here, and I can't get my shot, man, with that third shot. I want everything I can get, you know. I ain't stupid. So he said, what's the matter? I said, I couldn't remember the shot, man. You know, I had two already. But they said, I got to give them the names or show them the proof, whatever. And then he said, stop, John. Hold up 1 minute. I said, wait, what's the matter? He said, the Lord talking to me. So he got quiet for a minute. He said, oh, the name of the shot is blah, 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 blah. I said, what? What did you say to me? He said, the name of the shot, so on, so on, so on. I said, oh, my God, are you sure about it? He said, I ain't lying on the Lord. That's what the Lord told me to tell you. So I turned around, went right back to that big old place where the people were. I walked in there and said, sir, well, you must have found it. I go, yeah, I found it, but I didn't tell him I found it. He said, well, do you have the document or do you have the name of it? Because since you came back, somebody must have called you and told you. I said, yeah, the name is son, 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 son. He said, that is correct. Have a seat. And the man gave me the shot. Can you imagine that? The Lord was listening to Brother M and I conversation. He told Brother M what's the name of the shots that I had. And I went back and told the man that in faith, and the man opened the door to me, sit down, sir, and I got my shot. The Holy Spirit can communicate with us and help us just as a person, folks. When we can understand him, he speaks with clarity, he speaks with love, and you always got to remember he's a part of the Trinity, and he's equal with the Father, and he's equal with the Son. Okay, and some more little, a couple of little things I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit. Let's see, where do I want to go? Okay, like I mentioned a few seconds ago, I say he teaches us, and you know, he teaches us the Bible and everything else when we study and praying and everything else. And then he guides us. He guides some of us to become counselors, some to become pastors, some to become teachers, so forth. He enlightens us when we feel bad. Sometimes he gives us answers to problems, and sometimes we pray to him. He intercedes and tells us what we need to do to solve that problem. And remember this, the Holy Spirit was addressed as a person in the Bible. And the New Testament clearly shows the early recognize and affirm that the Holy Spirit was a person. Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit. If you go back and remember some of your stuff in your New Testament, you'll recall that some of those godly men and women was talking to him. Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius. Y'all remember that? Cornelius' house. You remember that? Philip followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. So don't put it aside somewhere. That's what them days, but now we have a written word. They didn't have a written word at this year, but look at this. What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the Bible. They weren't theologians. What were they? They were fishermen, ladies and gentlemen. They were fishermen. And remember this. They wrote the New Testament. They didn't go to those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. Hold one second. Go. I had to talk to my dog. He was trying to get in here so he could sit in my lap. All right, I had to run him away. All right, back to the details of the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Holy Spirit want to have a personal relationship with us. Not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but he's also God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And there's a whole lot of religion out there, man, theologians that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't even believe in Jesus. They believe in God the Father. And this kind of thing. And so it hurts. Well, you can always have all your folks around like that. So again, I like to repeat, not only the Holy Spirit is a person, my fellow brother and sister in the Lord, but he is also God. As God, he is worthy of our worship and our obediences. His deity is demonstrated in part by the names that we've given him. He's the Word, Spirit of Truth, and so forth. He's the Holy Spirit, and so forth. When God identifies his name in Scripture, remember this, it is not without meaning. The first mention of the Holy Spirit in Scripture identifies him clearly as God and the Spirit of God. And the most common name, now, for the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. Now, his godly or deity is also implied by the title Comforter. Remember that? He's our Comforter. He's the Spirit of Truth, and so forth. Most of the names ascribed to the Holy Spirit either relates directly to godly or deity, Spirit of the Lord. And when we speak of the Trinity, I'd like to just clarify a little bit more, is when we speak of him as part of the Trinity, we are speaking of one God in three distinct persons, each being God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and is therefore G-O-D, God. And remember this, when Peter asked Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart with lies and so forth to the Holy Ghost? And said, thou hast not hide a lie to men, but unto God. And with respect to his, I kept on going, looking, like, oh, this thing is getting good, juicy. Then I came across words like his attributes, and I said, well, the comparative attributes of God are what you call omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, and is attributed to the Holy Spirit. He has those qualities, too. He has those qualities, too. What else am I going to say about that? Yeah. Now, it was mentioned earlier about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not the gifts of John Doe, the gifts of Jesus, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, I look at John 14, chapter 14, verses 15, 17, 26, John chapter 16, verses 7, 8, 13, book of Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 16. And then I wrote a few things down, I summarized some of my reading, and I go, oh, yeah, let me tell the brethren and the sisters about some of these gifts that God give us, because for us to be successful in our ministry and to overcome Satan, we need to know what our admonitions are, and we got to know the rule of battle and everything else. And those spiritual gifts that God gave us wasn't for just for that time. They're still telling that lie about, well, they're gone. That was the first century. That's a lie right out of hell. Now, listen at this, y'all. This, you find this Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I wish all of you, when you have time, go back and look at it, because that is what we have to defeat Satan. That is why you got so many men and women that fall into all kind of crazy lifestyles. You got, just like every day, a minister talking about, ain't that wrong with having faggots in our church. We love them all and this and that. And I said, yeah. He said to love them, not to hate them. But he also want us to minister to them so they can change. He didn't tell y'all to screw them, okay? He said, but God said, I had one call me up and say, but God said that we should love our fellow mankind. I said, yeah, he said that. He's in the Word. He said, for God so loved the world. But he didn't say, but God so loved the world that he's willing to forgive murderers, stealers, adulterers, fornicators, abusers of themselves, and all this stuff. Okay. Well, I see you got a point there about John. But he said he loved us all. I said, yeah, he does. That's like that. But he don't love your demeanor and your actions and your pride and all that stuff. Okay? Okay, Brother John. Now, listen what the Holy Spirit gives us. And this is wonderful. The Holy Spirit, and I don't want to hear no junk about, we have this written word, throw that junk away. Man, what I'm teaching y'all right, we're not teaching, I ain't teaching nobody. I'm just sharing the word. And you got to remember that this stuff I'm sharing, you know, I pick up on this about maybe when I turned 40. Now, mind you, I've been in church 18, 20s, in the 30s, and then finally I went to the Lord. I got tired because I can go to one man, say, explain this. He tell me something, I go to the next one. He give me a different interpretation. I said, uh-huh. He said, now you understand about the mind, John, that we need when it comes to spiritual things, we need to hear the Lord. I go, yeah, I really do. So it's no matter. I can give five different ministers one scripture, and every one of those fellows will give me a different interpretation. He said, that's the mind, Brother June. And then sometimes it's a fleshy mind, and sometimes it's a mind of demonic. But they ain't going to believe that. They're going to think you're crazy. I mentioned you're talking about demons. And I didn't find out until my 40s that demons are really real. I'm not here to teach on demonology today, but the Holy Spirit. Now, listen. The Holy Spirit is so loving and want us to be gifted to be overcomers, like the Bible said. He gave us the following gifts. One, he gave us the gift of, and it's not dead, y'all. It's still alive. These gifts still available. Don't tell me that was for the first century. Don't believe that's another lie of the devil. Because you know why? Because you know if you use that and you acquired it, you but every time they come at you, every time somebody tells me, don't you want me? I'm fine. I'm 38, 24, 38. Hey, man, don't I look like a woman? Don't you want me? Kind of thing. And you can't beat them with your wisdom and with your little knowledge and stuff like that. You got to know what the word. He want to give us the gift. Now, listen at this. One, the Holy Spirit gives us the word of wisdom. You know, now, all this in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Here we go. He gives us one gift, a gift. It's called the word of wisdom. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. So what is that, Brother John? Well, when God gave you the gift of wisdom, that means to solve problems or situations. And he wants you to solve those problems or situations according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You might have an answer to a problem, but guess what? The Holy Spirit can overcome that and show out that little bit of problem that you came up with. You know, nothing wrong with using your mind, but make sure it's being led by the Spirit of God. Now, dig this. He wants to solve problems and situations. He give you a message of wisdom. What else? What is it for? To give a word of divine instructions and direction to give to someone. He would tell you what to do, how to accomplish it. Otherwise, it would cost some their life. Some of their own decision would cost their business. Some of their own minds would cost their marriage. Man, I lost my wife. Man, I lost my husband. You know, kind of thing. Because you should have went to the Lord so he can resolve that problem for you. The Lord always wants to deal with our family problems, our business problems, you know, and our marriage problems. Our little weakly mind can't deal with it all. Always go to the Lord. Now, so like I said, the word of wisdom helps you solve problems and situations. And all you got to do is say, Lord, what should I do? And you know what? Boom. The Holy Spirit speaks back to you. You don't get to, well, why are you talking to the Lord, Brother John, like that? We have his written word, but the written word. It's fine, but maybe not to that specific situation you're dealing with at the moment. So remember this. He gives us the word of wisdom. And so it helps us to solve problems when we have them. Also, either situations, whatever they may be. The word of wisdom also give us divine, not fleshly, divine instructions and directed to give to someone. Otherwise, it would only cost them their life. Because of your stupid decision and mistakes, it'll cost them their business, might cause their marriage and family. All right, that's the first one, one of the gifts on the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Please look it up. Don't let nobody jive you talking about, we don't have that nowadays. Huh, God still want to work with us when we have problems. The second one is the word of knowledge. And I say the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is him helping us with our problem situation, the Holy Spirit, that is. Then another one, he gives us the word of knowledge. What is that, Brother John? All right. Said the Bible said, to another a message of knowledge. And what is it? By means of the same Spirit, that's Holy Spirit. One, the names of people. Sometimes you may go into a situation, you're writing, or you need to contact somebody. The doctor tell you to contact this person, this person tell you to contact this doctor. And then you go, oh, my God, I should have wrote it down. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit will give you names of people when sincerely needed. not just a bunch of junk needed. I'm talking about sincerely needed. The Holy Spirit, let's see, he will let you know where you can find things. Now, I find that kind of strange thing, because I remember when I was with Brother Emmett, oh, Lord, I remember she'd be standing around here. I don't know where I'm looking. I look in the car, I look here, and I look there, and I look everywhere. And then all of a sudden he said, guess what, John's what? The Lord has told me it's in the closet, in my coat pocket. And he'd go in and say, Lord have mercy, I've spent all day looking for that thing, right? And sometimes they'd be looking around the house all day, and then the Lord say, it's in the glove compartment in your car. I said, man, this thing is really real. Okay, so I said, he gives you the word of knowledge. He gives you names of people when you forget it. He gives you, tell you how you can find lost items. The Holy Spirit also, let's see, what? Oh, yeah, he would tell you which relationships are relevant or real or not. Because you may catch somebody who likes you because you're very famous, very popular, and you think the dude just eating your behind for nothing and all this stuff. He's riding your back for his own glory someday. So he or she want to be seen with you so he can get a part of that reputation. So, and then this woman, oh, I love you, I love you, sir. Whatever, I don't know what field you might be in, whatever it is, I love you, sir, so much, and I'd do anything for you. The person just want to crap you out of all your money, out of your reputation, everything else. Some people hang around you, your reputation. They go, you must be something else, man. Every time I look at me, you would do it, man. He look up to you, he respect you, man. Yeah, kind of a thing. Got to remember, word of knowledge, he gives you names of people when you forget them. He also help you find lost items, your car keys or your eyeglasses, whatever. And all you got to do is ask him, and all of a sudden, he says, look here, look there. You know, a couple of times I ask, I don't know where it is. He said, you left it in the glove compartment in the car, John. I go up in the car and say, honey, you know, she's like, go and see. And I'm going to pass out. I say, oh, my God, I did hear from the Lord. Word of knowledge, tell you what things are. He also revealed relationships to you. If you ask me, you're not sure. Say, is this turkey using me, being me because of my reputation? Or just putting here, trying to hang around me, and he's trying to rip me off for some reason or whatever it may be. You know, the Lord will tell you. And this woman, oh, you're so handsome. You're so, and you're so that. That chick just want to be recognized with you. And then before you know it, she didn't give a flip about you. She just used you for your reputation. He also, with word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit revealed addresses to you. Because sometimes you'd be on your way somewhere and you go, oh, my God. And you left the direction of instructions back at the house. And then you're about a half hour away from your house. You got to turn around. Just pull over and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize. But I left that thing on the dining room table. And the Lord will tell you what address where you're going to. You pull over and you write the address down the Holy Spirit gives you. Okay? And then guess what else with the word of knowledge? The Holy Spirit reveals secrets to you. There's a lot of people hiding things. It's like right now, they're supposed to see the money in the church, you know? And you think the gentlemen's that's taking the collection up every Sunday and the ones with the checks, who offering checks, they can't touch it. But there's a lot of people put $20 bills, $10 bills, $50 bills all in there, and they take a little $50 bill and stick it in their pocket, and you never know when they go in the accounting room. It's, well, Pastor, we got $3,000 in offer today. Praise the Lord, son, praise the Lord. Well, he didn't take, but the other thousand, he got stuff in his pocket, but then little $5 bills and $20 bills and so forth, okay? All right, the Holy Spirit give us the word of wisdom, give us the word of knowledge, where you know what kind of relationship you have with this man, this woman. Is he calling you that he really don't give a flip, but he just use you for your reputation and kind of stuff? Oh, this woman you think about getting married, is she marrying you because you're the man, you're the man, and she can be in high society when she don't give a flip about you. She'll marry you, and then she'll still run around cheating on you, stuff like that, okay? All right. Now, you got the word of wisdom the Holy Spirit give us. He gives us the word of knowledge. Then he gives us discerning of spirits. Brother John, what is discerning of spirits? And, you know, discerning is no real saying distinguishing the truth from lies. Discerning of spirit, when you feel something in your heart telling you do this or go here and do it again, you have to discern whether that's the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, or that's just your flesh, you know. You have disciples say, Lord, I don't know. Should I do this or not? Should I do it, you know? Might be Satan make things look good, and it sounds good, it looks good, and everything is. You go snatch it, and you find yourself out of connection with the Lord. All right, he let you know who in your surroundings, who has the Spirit of God, who hasn't, who is a crook, deceiving. Also, discerning of spirits, when you got that gift, guess what? When the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you know it. When Jesus is talking to you, you know it. When God is speaking to you, you know it. When the devil is speaking to you, you won't know it because he has so well hidden. Don't she look good? Don't he look good? Don't take a couple of dollars out of it. You can establish another account here at the church, and you can put some of the offering that the pastor don't even know. The congregation won't even know. The deacons won't even know, whatever. Okay? And then you can recognize discerning of spirits. You can recognize when demonic spirits in your atmosphere are in your presence. And you can say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Get thee behind me. Because, man, people, man, come and try to cheer to him and try to pretend like he cares so much about you, hoping you assign to him one of the great positions, whatever you are, doctor, lawyer, whatever it may be. I'm not speaking just to the ministers. I'm speaking to all walks of life, okay? I should have said that from the beginning. I am speaking to all walks of life, not just to pastors. I'm talking to nurses, doctors, and so forth, janitors, teachers, you know, so forth. So with the discerning of spirits, the Holy Spirit will help you discern what's right, what's wrong. Somebody comes to you and lie to you and this kind of stuff, you say, no, man, get away from me. You know, you're lying. How do you know that, man? Man, just get away from me, period. You know, the Holy Spirit tell you. And then, let's see what else. Right? Oh, under discerning of spirits, you got to remember, when you hear something, a voice in your spirit, don't think it's you all the time. Say, let me see what I'm going to do about this. And you're, oh, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. You know, and then you go, yeah. So you got to figure out who is giving you instructions, who is revealing things to you. Is it Spirit of God? Is it a demonic spirit trying to go, cause you to go astray? Okay. Or is it just your fleshly talking to you? Sometimes you got to, when you think of something, you got to say, who's talking to me? And don't make the mistake I did. For years, I thought because I thought it was me. I ain't think no stinking demon going to be talking to me, telling me what I should do and all this other kind of stuff because I didn't believe in them. I thought all of them were in hell at the time, you know. And just because this man who got a little bit of authority on me told me to do something and that's the way it should be done, don't necessarily mean that is right because he's speaking from his fleshly mind or he may be speaking from his spiritual mind. You don't know. You better be able to discern what this person's saying to you, this woman, this man, like trying to trick you, con you, or whatever. And if you always have a question about it, you always can go in quiet, please, and say, Lord, she told me I need to do this, I need to do that, and so. And the Holy Spirit will give you a negative or positive. So help me God. May he strike me down dead now if I'm not. Discerning of spirits, he would help you distinguish what's true, what's not. Who really care about you, who just playing you. Who really have your health, ways, success. It means that you don't care, flip about you. So we talk about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then that's it. The word of wisdom, God gives you a solution to whatever problems you may have. He also gives you a word of knowledge, letting you know about people, letting you know who's real, let you know about that woman, that man, really care about you. God don't want you to get married one day and then have to divorce 2 days later. Because God has a match for each one of us. And before you say, will you marry me, you better check with the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you, he or she is not for you. I don't have her or him for you. Okay? So that's the word of knowledge. Then discerning of spirits, when people come talk to you, you know what, man, you need to do this, and I got this. And you need discerning of spirit. You need to know who's talking. Is it God telling you to do something? Is it Jesus telling you, the Holy Spirit telling you, or your flesh, or what? Okay, and then another gift he gives you the gift of prophecy. That's when God tells you certain things. Prophecy is a message, which an individual from God, a message of from God. It strengthens you, it encourages you, and it comforts you. It comforts a person or a group of people at a particular time. So you need to know the gift of prophecy. That's when sometimes God will use another brother to come to you and talk to you. And the reason behind that is to encourage you and to you and to comfort you. That's the purpose, you know, of prophecy. God might say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, I'm sad. I'm always doing this. And it always turned out the bad way. And everything. Lord, please help me, you know, kind of thing. So prophecy, God uses someone to strengthen you, And that's what the Holy Spirit do. The Holy Spirit just come to you, be praying to the Lord, and God and the Holy Spirit come to you. The Holy Spirit purpose in your situation, whatever it may be, is to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to comfort you whenever you need it. That's what the purpose of that. Then God gives them the gift of tongues. And boy, that is the biggest one that everybody has slain and cursed and dishonored and everything else. And I believe that from the time I was 18 to the time I was 37 years old. Then finally I was praying, and all of a sudden I didn't know what it was in, but that was the Lord telling me, son, you need to go see your pastor so-and-so back home from Savannah, Georgia, where you're from. And I had to start, I said, what am I thinking of? So I called my sister. She said, You mean Brother John? I told my sister, I was speaking in tongues 15 years ago. Well, where you got? You didn't get it from this. You didn't get it from our Methodist church. She said, man, I left that church years ago. I go over to such church, you know, the Word of God church, and they teach you the gifts of spirit and everything else. Brother John, she said, I speak in tongues and everything. She goes, I'm gonna look into this myself. So I jumped in my car, told the family, I was going down to Savannah, went down there, and she introduced me to her pastor. And I said, I don't know what to believe. Some days I believe it, and sometimes I don't. And then he says, well, Brother John, you need to go talk to the Lord, but it's true. It's really true. And then my sister started speaking in tongues. I said, my God, what is she doing? She's babbling. He said, watch your mouth. She's not babbling. She's speaking in tongues. Don't you criticize the Holy Spirit, man. You know what Jesus said in the Word? What he said in the Word? He said, you can say anything about me, it will be forgiven. You can say anything about my Father, God, it can be forgiven, but anything against the Holy Spirit would never be forgiven. I said, seriously? He said, look, I look at him, I said, oh, Lord. I said, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to call tongues of the devil. You know? So he says, well, another thing. You were eligible for it when you got saved, but the thing is, you'll never get it if you're playing hanky-panky with the Lord. You're going, praise the Lord, one day, come here, baby, the next day. I said, I said, no. I'm not going to hell over a woman's vagina or a man's behind. I said, no way, Jose, I'm not that stupid. I said, I don't know the Bible, all that person and everything else, but I ain't stupid. My mom ain't raised no fool, you know. Well, he said, oh, I know you're telling the truth because the Holy Spirit done told me. So you don't engage in none of that. I said, heck no, man. I ain't going to help with no woman, no man, no money, no nothing. Fame or glory. Because heaven ain't like prison. You do 20 or 30 years and get out. Heaven is forever. He said, so now I know. He said, but I knew all the time because the Lord already told me that you're a righteous man, that you love him. You've still been seeking after him. And that's what the Holy Spirit was driving you to seek the truth. He says, tongues still avail. But I tell you what you do. You became eligible when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't need to ask you if you're cheating on your wife and you're doing this and you're doing that because the Lord already told me that you're a righteous man. So why don't you go on down there and talk to the Lord? I said, okay. So I went down there, and I thought I was going to trick the Lord. I said, Lord, is tongue busted? Is it really busted today? Please, let me know. Please. So he said, John, you already eligible for it, so you got to believe it. Just ask me for it. I said, okay. I went in there, Lord, give me tongues. Lord, can I have tongues? He said, tongues still exist for us today, and so. And he said, John, you never give. You keep yakking. Why don't you just thank him for it? You received it when you asked him. You became eligible for the gift and you became a born again spiritual believer of God. I said, okay. I said, Lord, and that's what I'm going to trick him. I said, well, tell you what, I'm going to trick him. I said, Lord, I want tongues first. I know you say some other gifts, but I want tongues. So could you give me tongues, please? And I just sat there. I want my knees up to the altar. He said, Brother John, I said, yeah. When are you going to ask me? You don't have to ask me for it. Just thank you for it. I said, huh? I said, well, you thank him when you get it. I said, you got it when you got saved, you're eligible for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That stuff ain't dead. It's for us today. That's how we beat the devil. How you going to beat the devil? What you going to do? Take your machine gun, your pistol, your knife, your sword, and beat the devil and the demons? It ain't going to work, brother. Know the word. And you got to know what's available for you. I said, I hear you. So I went in and I said, thank you, Lord. Said, thank you. Next thing I know, man, I started crying and everything else, boy. And my wife and all ran down and hugged me and everything else. And my children said, they wanted it too, man. When I got back home, my wife said, take me to a church where the gifts are still available. And I took her to a friend's church, and both my kids speak in tongues, and my wife. And they love every minute of it, you know. So he also gave us the gift of prophecy, like I said, and the gift of prophecy is a message of utterance. When God wants to speak you may be preaching. You may just be just a regular layman. And God may want to speak to somebody in that church, and you feel led by the Holy Spirit and say, if it's not the pastor, you go to the pastor. I need the pastor, but go ahead. You can hand the mic. And then God will raise somebody up in the church and give them the interpretation that was said. Pastor, the Lord just told me what that man said. And God will give the interpretation to two people. Because in case one might accidentally say something that's a little wrong, God don't want no error. He will give two people interpretation. One accidentally says something just a little bit wrong. The other person, no, honey, you need to be corrected. He didn't say that. He said this. And then that's how it worked. I say, praise the Lord. I went home speaking in tongues. And I took my kids to a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they speak in tongues. And they just grew in leaps and bounds. And they love the Lord, you know. So back to the gift of prophecy. Man, that's the gift of tongues. The gift of tongue is a language given by the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Only the Holy Spirit. And it only can be spoken by a believer, and you got to be a real believer. Don't think you're going to get any of those gifts by going, praise the Lord, y'all, praise the Lord. And then you cheat on your wife, you cheat on your husband, you're stealing money out of the account. You're lying all the time because Revelation 21:8 says even lying is going to hell. So if you're not really real with God, you can get down there and pray every night for 100 years, and you'll never get to give a tongue any one of these gifts either, because God's not a fool. You're not going to do this and think you can hide from God. We can't hide from God. Okay? So if you want tongues, you want the gift of interpretation, the gift of prophecy and all that stuff, you need to be real with it, because the Holy Spirit checking. The Holy Spirit know everything, you know? Okay, and that's how come some people can't hear God's voice. What do you think God can speak to them? Because, hello, hey, Jesus. You'd be talking to you wouldn't get no height in the ceiling. So remember, the gift of tongue is a language given by the Holy Spirit. So when you're speaking in tongues, like you go do your pies, that kind of thing, hey, that's not you speaking. That's the Holy Spirit using your mouth, your tongue, in your throat, whatever involved with you speaking. The gift of tongue, when I go, Shikita Marasokoli, Kataparakiti Ishikirian, Nikotaparo Sokorian, I get that until I was 40, y'all. Because all my life, all you have been, but in my teen years, in my 20s, in my 30s, and in my 40s, and finally, 40, I said, I give up. And the Holy Spirit saw that I was upset and everything else, that I still believed it sometime and didn't believe it next time. So the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to help this young man. And the Holy Spirit told me to go home. And he called my sister. She said, I'm speaking. I said, I didn't know. And so I went home and got the gift of tongues. And now my kids speak in tongues. My wife speak in tongues. Now, another gift that the Holy Spirit gives us, y'all, because this is how we overcome the devil. We can't beat the devil by our thoughts. When thoughts come into your mind to do this and thoughts and that, you got to realize who is speaking. Remember, if you don't remember anything else I said, when a thought comes into your mind, say, who is speaking? This goes in your mind, I wish I quit thinking that all the time. I wish I quit thinking this all the time. I wish I quit. Ain't you? That's not you. Especially if you know it's wrong, and you're trying to deal with it, I don't know, and that ain't you. Man, number the devil, and when I say you, that's the flesh. Your flesh just loves to be satisfied, okay? Okay, all right. That's the gift of tongue. It's still relevant. Tongues and prophecy, they work together. When you speak in tongues, and then sometimes you may be in a car, you may be in a car like me going somewhere, and then I felt led to pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, Lord, just want me to pray. So I'm in the back seat of the car going, Shikitina Fala, Kiina Kataporo Sokoli, Katapa Se Kikiama. And then all of a sudden the man turned around and said, sir. I said, yes. Are you Italian? I go, no. I thought not. You look African American. I said, yeah, why yes, man? So you praying? I said, I'm praying in tongues, sir. Sorry if I just interrupt you. You know, I'm just thanking, praising the Lord. Sometimes when I don't know what to say, I just let the Holy Spirit pray for me. I say, Lord, I want to pray for my sister. Could you pray for me, please? And I go, she can't. I know that's the Holy Spirit praying for my sister. If my mom is sick in the hospital and needs some help, you know, and them all gathering, dear Lord, help this young child, Lord, and help her and help him, yes, Lord, and that kind of stuff. And Lord say, John, go over there. I say, excuse me, sir. A young lady, the Lord asked me to pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, you have this problem, and he said, you're going to be healed within 3 days. The reason you have this problem is because you've been doing so and so and so and so, not because you ate so and so and so and so and so. And let you know, it's real. You got a daughter named so and so, and you got a son named so and so. And say, this man's real, you know, kind of thing. So now, the gift of tongues, that's when the Holy Spirit going to use your tongue to speak to somebody else, not only for somebody who don't know how to speak English, but you have tongues because God may have a message, you know, to the whole congregation. The pastor ready to say the benediction, and the Holy Spirit said, hold up, I'm not through yet. I want to talk to the congregation and speak in tongues. You go, yes, Lord. And you go, hey, shekiri anekotapa, so kodi aneketibi anekotapa. And then you go, and then the Holy Spirit, and then you say, Lord, you didn't give me an interpretation, remember? I know what I'm doing. And next thing, you get two people interpretation of what it said. And the person said, Lord, I ain't never spoken tongue. Here, I'm giving interpretation. The Lord using that person, see? And then the last one, I go, many times I get tired and I go to bed at night. And I go, tired. I always say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need them. Lord, I need those. Lord, help me here. Help me where, you know? And I go, no, same old thing. Give me this and give me that. Give me those and give me them, all that. I say, Lord, I'm tired of praying like that. I'm going to let you pray for me. Because my buddy said when I pray in tongues too, that's you praying for me. So I ask Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, would you intercede for the things that I need? I said, I have problems, you know, and my wife has this test coming up. A child is having a test or so on or whatever. I said, Lord, you know what the situations are in my household. So I'm asking you because I don't want to be saying the same thing. Lord, I need some more money. Lord, I need a better job. And Lord, I need. So when I want to pray for myself, I say, I give up to the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, you know what my needs, you know what my desires are. So would you intercede for me? And then I go, and I can pray like that for hours, 2 hours. Holy Spirit is interceding for me. So that's the gift of tongues. Then you have the gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit gives you. He gives you the gift of prophecy. That's when he sends you to the hospital, sends you somewhere to give a message to somebody. That's all that is. I want you to go to such a doctor so-and-so house. I want you to go to Reverend so-and-so house. He's sick, but he won't tell nobody. I want you to go to Deacon so-and-so house. I need you to go to sister house. And how you know, I said, Lord, send me, honey. Now listen at this house. Here's two sentences. The gift of prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. Let me repeat that. The gift of prophecy is a message of utterance, that kind of thing, through an individual from God to do what? What's the purpose of it? He may send you somebody to strengthen somebody. Somebody may be on their last leg to feel sad, feel hurt, and got some bad news, and the Holy Spirit will send you to that person's house or call that person and give them words of encouragement. That's what the gift of prophecy is. God, the Holy Spirit, is using another human vessel to take his message to that woman or to that man for whatever the need is, or whatever the needs are. Prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God to strengthen, to encourage, or to comfort someone. He's going through a lot of problems. They kept a secret to themselves and nobody knows. And they know when you go there and talk to them, they know you are from God because they say, I didn't confess this problem to nobody. My husband is cheating on me. Or my wife is cheating on me. I lost my job. And I don't want nobody to know because it's so embarrassing. You know, these kinds of things. So when you talk to that person, I'm talking to prophets, you still speak in English, but you're prophesying to that person. You tell them, God is saying, this is what you need to say to encourage her. This is what you need to say to comfort him or her, kind of thing. And then sometimes God want to convict you. So he may send you, sir or ma'am, to somebody else, a close friend of yours, to convict that person. Say, hey, I know you think you're in secret, but the Lord told me what you're doing, bro. Don't do that no more. Don't do that no more. Did you know? He didn't say you will, but you know you can die in 3 days, and he had to tell you, get thee behind me. Go to hell. Okay? How do you know that? The Lord told me to tell you. You got to straighten up. If you don't, you're going to die within 3 days, and you're going to be gone. So the purpose of the gift of prophecy is to instruct someone to discern what's going on with that person's life and to confirm your calling. Because sometimes a person, I don't believe now, and then God will tell you something secret to that person. Oh, my God, how did you know that? They tell me, Brother Emmett, how do you know that? You know, to the Lord. I said, the Lord told Brother Emmett. And Brother Emmett told me. And she goes, I'm still trying to get at that level. I ain't at that level yet. But God can hear, Emmett has in the past 16 years have not written one thing, and they all come in. We know you doing that sermon for brother, for Emmett. You think we're stupid? I said, no. I said, look at the Bible. What do you mean? I said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Were they theologians? No, sir. I said, well, who were they? The Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. Well, did the Sadducees and the Pharisees and scribes wrote the New Testament, huh, Matthew, Mark, Luke? No. So what was it, was named after those guys? I said, that's right. And you know how they wrote it? Because they were just fishermen. I said, they were following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how you got the book. It's like you got the book of Revelation. God, Jesus came there when he was in that little hideaway place somewhere and told him to write the book of Revelation. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, and the book of Revelation, three books he did, and he was a fisherman. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us like that today too, see? All right. Then you have, that was the gift of prophecy. It's for you to go somewhere and pray with somebody in tongues, and the Holy Spirit would tell you what to say. You may go and speak to that person in English, but the Holy Spirit still telling you what to say to that individual to lift that person up. And then, all right, and then the gift of tongues, I already said that, the gift of healing, that still goes on. And then the gift of working of miracles, because somebody's about to die, and I've been to the doctor and everything. And God may say, go so, I want you to lay hands on and pray for him. That still happened today, y'all. That sounds stupid. Well, we're not in the first century. We have his written word. God will send your butt to that hospital and you lay hands on that person. But he only used people like that who believe. How come I can't do that? I'd be laying hands there. You'd be laying hands hoping. You don't lay hands and hope. You lay hands on them and say, it is done. So by your faith, the person is healed. But if you're up there just performing, ain't that going to happen because you don't believe it. You say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, you know. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's my job. Okay. God can speak to you about sicknesses. He can speak to you about diseases. He can tell you about somebody's body. And I've seen that for the last 20 years. And that kind of pee me off every time I think about it. Everything that I know now could have been known if I was sitting on the right type of man or woman. Then he gives you the gift of faith to another faith by the same Spirit. Faith pleases God. Without it, we cannot please him. That's how the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus would work with us, talk to us, tell us when we're in a problem, how to get out of a problem, all of these things. But we have to be for real. We can fool our family, we can fool our spouses, we can fool our co-workers. But if you hanky-panky and God knows it, you ain't going to never have it. You be going like this the rest of your life. We had to get rid of it because you read some scripture to somebody. And that's what the devil know that is our strength. You wouldn't go fight the Japs or the Russians or Asians and all that with a water gun, would you? Well, those who are not using under the gifts, that's what we're using. You're looking, praise the Lord, child, don't worry about it. I'm praying for you. Okay, honey, yes, praise the Lord. Yeah, ain't nothing happening, see? You come back, that person's still dying of this disease or the marriage done broken because you didn't give him number 2 cents worth of counseling because you were speaking from your what you think you should say instead of saying what the Lord wants you to say. Faith pleases God, and without it, we cannot please him. We got to have that faith. We got to have that. You know, I'm going to sum up about the gifts. I said you give up the gift, okay? Now I'm going to go slow with this, and here is the spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Number one, he gives us the gift of wisdom because he's the one that taken over after Jesus left. He says, I'm here one just like me, the counselor. He'll come and bring to remembrance everything I said. And the Holy Spirit said, you can't get your little cap gun and your little bow and arrow and your water pistol to beat the devil. You need spiritual gifts. That's what I gave you. If you went into the Marine Corps or if you want to be in the Air Force, how are you going to beat the enemy if you never learned how to fly an airplane or a jet, huh? Tell me that. What you going to do, huh? You're going to use your whatever other ways you think you can beat another foreign country. What you do? You can walk over there, and swim over there. What you going to do? Okay. All right, here's the spiritual gifts. Number one, he gives us the word. Now, these are our spiritual weapons. Military weapons are guns, and you can't kill a demon by holding your pistol. You better get out of my house. You better get out of my life. I'll shoot you. How are you going to shoot a demon? All right. Here we go. Spiritual gift number one, wisdom. The ability, and I'm not going to, just give you this ability, I'm just going to just give a one sentence thing on each one of those gifts, just to clarify what it is. The gift of wisdom. This is the ability to give wise advice for specific situations. Guess I'm going to sum that one up. The gift, spiritual gift, remind you now, these in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. The gift of wisdom, what is that, John? It's the ability to give wise advice for specific situations. All right, let's go to the next one. It gives you the gift of knowledge. Well, what does that mean? Know everything? No. The gift of knowledge is about people, circumstances, are biblical truth. And that's what he wants you to know. You might not understand it. He gives you about people. Is that person good for me, Lord? Is that person real? Should I marry this person, Lord? Should I not? Lord, should I do this? The Lord can give you, tell you what you get in trouble, you do it. Oh, it's okay. That's what knowledge is. It's about people. And it's about circumstances. Or you tell you a different thing about people, about your wife, your husband, your coworker, your boss, and everything else. So knowledge is about people, circumstances, biblical truth. And then you got the next gift, the gift of faith. That's enabled us as Christians to believe in miracles. Well, that don't happen nowadays. Like, those folks who are still saying that don't speak in tongues, y'all. Faith enables a Christian to believe. And I never really accepted it, but I ain't had nobody help me believe in tongues. So I just kept my big mouth shut. And so then finally the Holy Spirit got hold of me, and I went to go home and see your sister. She took me to her church. And the man prayed for me, and then I come out of that church speaking in tongues, traveled back to Atlanta, and shared it with my wife and my kids, and now they all speak in tongues. Faith enables a Christian to believe in miracles. That's what faith is. Then he gives us another gift, the gift of healing. That's restoring physical health by supernatural means. It happens few and far between, kind of a thing, because I don't go around looking for this kind of thing, but it happens, still happens. I hear from families and friends and all, the person that's in faith went and prayed, went to look out on knees and prayed by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And they went back to the doctor, found out that cancer was gone. And then the gift of miracles, the ability to alter the course of nature and demons. And that's when he was dealing with them demons, saying, get out of my house, you turkey. Yeah. Demons are still real, and it's a whole story about those guys. Prophecy, he gave you the gift of prophecy. We're back to miracles, and that's what the deliverance ministry is. It's a ministry of miracles and faith, where you can lay hands, you can go talk to them demons and get out of here, you demon in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and so forth, that's you. And they will obey you if you really, really, truly a man or woman of God. But if you're hanking and panking, they'll just laugh at you. I've seen a lot of ministers who try to cast out demons, but they weren't right with God and got thrown up in the ceiling in some churches. In some churches, they just got ripped apart, kind of a thing. You can't play with demons if you're not living right. Because the demons say, you can't tell me, get out your house and get out your life. You love me. That's me. When you go see that woman, that's me. When you go see that man, that's me. When you're stealing the money, that's me. When you're lying, kind of a thing, see? Mm-hmm. So we have prophecy, a special temporary ability to bring a word of warning from the high school under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Again, prophecy, a special temporary ability to bring a word of warning from the Holy Spirit under the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're about to get in trouble, and the Holy Spirit will warn you. Prophecy. Somebody say, John, you shouldn't go there. I felt led of the Lord. That just didn't trap you or to do this to you and this kind of thing. Don't go. Or they don't mean me any good, kind of thing. Then you got the gift of discernment, which is the next one. That'll help you realize, distinguish good from bad. That's what we're discerning. Whether you're being tricked or not, you need to know that. Then you still have the gift of tongues, and God have us where we can minister to other fellow believers and stuff like that, or to address a person personally, see? Mm-hmm. Okay, then he gives us interpretation of tongues. And then let me see, a few little things. One thing I want to say this. First of all, I know and you all know that the Holy Spirit, is known as a spirit of truth. He's called the spirit of truth. And he's known as the comforter, to be specific. And I'd like to say something about that. He's the Spirit of Truth and Comforter. As the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit what, comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and truth. He will not, repeat this again, he will not be the counselor of those who are indifferent to the faith in their commitment to the truth. In other words, don't look for any help, any information, and nothing from the Holy Spirit as you're playing games, because he takes the death of his partner, Jesus Christ, let's see, seriously. Because he saw his buddy come down here, his fellow God, came down here and got beat up by mankind because of disbelief and everything else. They whipped him and everything else. He almost tried to push him over a cliff one time, but he had to be saved by the Holy Spirit in that case when he tried to push him over a cliff. They beat him with them whips, 39 lashes. All that for us. All that for us. See? And what else I want to say? As the Spirit of Truth, like I said, he only comes to those who really, truly worship the Lord. And in spirit and in truth. You got to be a righteous woman, or she a righteous woman, he a righteous man. He will not be the counselor, repeat, he will not be the counselor of those who are indifferent to the faith. I don't believe that in their commitment to the truth. He's also called the Spirit of Truth because he is the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. And everyone that is of the truth, hear his voice. And as the comforter and the counselor, he does five things majorly. Listen to this. As our counselor and comforter, he encourages and leads the believers. He helps and confronts us as well as strengthen us. Because when we're doing something, you got no business. He will come down here, come at you and comfort you and strengthen us. And then he comforts us in different situations or no situation upon may be. And he intercedes for us. He prays for us too. Many times I get tired. Give me this, give me that, give me this. I'm sorry this, I'm sorry that, I'm sorry this, I'm sorry that. I just, Lord Spirit, would you please intercede for me, please? I'm tired of saying the same thing to God the Father and God the Lord Jesus. And so I go, Shikichi, and I can pray like that for 2 and 3 hours. Don't know what I'm saying, but I know the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He's interceding for me. And the Holy Spirit remains with us forever. He remains forever. And what I want to close with, let's see. I just summarize the works of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to brief that. One, the Holy Spirit in relation to creation and revelation, though he was involved with the creation of the world. The Holy Spirit in relation to Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in relation to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit preferred miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and Mary. And then Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. What's another thing that works of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in relation to the church, he prepares us for warfare. He dwells in the church as a temple. He speaks to the church. That's what he does. You see in Revelation and everything else. And he gives gifts to the church. You know, I just got through going over all those gifts. The Holy Spirit dwells in the church as his temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks to us, the church. He gives us gifts, the church. See? Another thing, the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. I didn't say in everybody. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Let's see, what can I say? Oh, he convicts us of sin. You ever do something? Oh, Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that. Oh, God. That's me. Then when I was working, I'd be quick with the boss. John, did you do so? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. I said, oh, you lied. I go, And then I go in my office, go, Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry for lying because I know Revelation 21:8 says even lies are going to hell. That God don't distinguish between big sin and little sin. Sin is sin. I said, oh, my God, you mean to tell me? If I be lying my butt off, day in, day out, and drop dead for a heart attack or whatever, I ain't got no way in the heavens. Nope, that's what the word say. I looked at it. I said, John, boo, look at Revelation 21. I said, oh, my God. So, and then another thing I was told in the past, you know what, when you when you overemphasize something, you say more than what's really there about something. You're lying, John. And I said, God, dog. And I run in my room and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for lying. I didn't want the man, didn't want the boss know I didn't get to do what he wanted me to do. But I'm going to do it now, you know. All right? The Holy Spirit regenerates us. He always willing to strengthen us. He reveals Christ. He makes Christ known to us more and more each day. And the Holy Spirit frees us from the power of sin. Because sometimes, like in my case, I just got tired of smoking, you know, when I'm in my 20s. And I said, Lord, I don't want no cancer. My mom got cancer. I don't want no cancer. You know, kind of a thing. And so so I prayed for it. And then a couple of days later, I'm still smoking. And I go, well, I can't stop. I just asked you. You know, and I thought him and said, you weren't serious. And I go, oh. So I went back, I'm serious this time, Lord. I really, really want to quit smoking. And he knows my spirit, and he knew I was real that time. And so the next morning I got up. I ain't had no desire for no cigarette. I can eat, I can drink coffee and do all stuff and don't need no cigarettes. And then he freed us from the power of sin. That was a good day for me because, you know, I deal with all the other guys. They were 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And I came to know the Lord when I was 30. When I was 30, I was blessed. When I found out, I said, it's your time, boy. And I go, oh, man, I jump up to face the Lord starting tomorrow morning. No more this, no more that, no more those, and no more them. And he took it from me. He freed us from the power of sin. That's what I just said. He helped us to pray. And sometimes I say, I don't know what to say, Lord. You know, I ain't no Bible scholar. You know, I be saying things, help me. Give me this and give me that and give me those and give me them. You know, and forgive me here, forgive me where, give me everywhere. So sometimes I ask him to pray for me. That's where praying tongues and the Holy Spirit receive me. And the Holy Spirit also make us yearn for Christ's return. I do that all the time. I say, Lord, I'll be glad when you come and get us and take us back. And then he enables us to live the holy life. Is there anything else I want to say? Yeah, I want to close with a summary of what I learned and for hearing him. He says this. I prayed and prayed in the Holy Spirit, and I sat down. Then I started writing stuff down, and a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, and a little bit today. But this is for hearing the Lord. If we're being close to him, it says, I wrote down here, I got, number one, be sensitive to God speaking to you. Number two, listen to God's voice. Three, if he speaks to you, you will know that it is his voice, simply by the Spirit and by the Word of God. When he's speaking to you, you would know it. He's confirming. But if it's the devil or your flesh trying to get you to something, you know it. Because you can say, that violates the word. I mean, you know, just realizing this old age, all you got to know when you're sinning, I wonder if that was the Lord of me. You know the word, stay in the word. Because it'll tell you to go after that man, go after that woman, steal his money, lie to this person, do this person. You know that ain't the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have to give in account for it. Be sensitive to God speaking to you. Listen to God's voice. You will know that it is his voice. Simply by the Spirit and by the Word of God. Number four, if you don't read the Word of God, you will not recognize God's voice and the devil will deceive you. Number five, read it as often that you can see. Number six, be aware of his presence at all times so that you will be always at the slightest little reach from the Holy Spirit, a nudge, rather. And then I came up with another one. And, you know, I'd be getting this thing a little bit by a little bit, one little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. Maybe working, I'd be in the classroom, and I'd jot down a piece of paper. Another one. And for closing, the importance of hearing God's voice. I wrote down three things. The importance of hearing God's voice. One, must be obeyed. That's the point. Because if you don't, you ain't going to hear another word no more because you can't pray with God. So I forgot, you know, Lord, you know. But I didn't want to hurt her feeling, his feeling. Lord, the importance of hearing God's voice, one, must be obeyed. And you know what? He may come at you once or twice. But if you keep being disobedient, I ain't saying that. That person going to be mad at me. That person might kick you know what out of me. You know, well, You won't be hearing him telling you to do anything else no more. I don't know what my ministry is. I just can't figure out what it is, bro. When he gives you the little simple things, you always find some excuse for not doing it. The importance of hearing God's voice. One, must be obeyed. Two, judgment for disobedience. You hear what I said? Judgment. You will get your little spank spank thing. And obedience is rewarded. He will bless your socks off. Again, the importance of hearing God's voice. It must be obeyed. And judgment for disobedience and obedience will be rewarded. And we got to remember, you matter to him more than anything else in this whole world because what? God died for you. You matter to God. He made you, and he knows what will fulfill you. He knows what vocation, job, profession is for you, is best suited for your talents and abilities. It's good to know that before you go to college, because that's when you go and major in something, you know. But it's never too late to change. You say, I never felt comfortable in this job. And you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, no, I wouldn't say you do that if you've been working that job for 34 years. I found my gift. You want to get away with that retirement and everything else. So, again, the importance of hearing God's voice, it must be obeyed. You can well think about it. That person won't like me no more if I say that or do this. He won't like me. No goodness. Mama going to hate me if I do this and do that. That do what God tells you to do. Must be obeyed by God. Judgment for disobedience, and you will get your judgment, brother. You really will. And then obedience is rewarded. And then you matter to God. That's number 8. You matter to God. He made you, and he knows what will fulfill you. He knows what vocation is best suited to your talents and abilities because what? He gave it to you. You matter to God. He made you, and he knows what will fulfill you. He knows what vocation is best suited for your talents and your abilities. Number 9, you must proceed with caution. What do you mean by that, Brother John? You must proceed with caution. If a leading, because sometimes do this, do it, quit your job, and sometimes that'd be the devil talking to you, and you can mess around and lose your job and go, oh, God, I thought God called me to do this, and I ain't got no job now. I can't take care of the family, the children, nothing like that, because I thought this, and I thought, for an example, I'll use this as an illustration. I remember an evangelist, a female evangelist came into Atlanta, and she's been so popular. So me and my buddy decided to go and place old jam packed out. You know, we were headed, and when she got through with her sermon, then she came up with this. All right, we need money to function and everything else. So I'm on 3 lines. I want those who can give only $10. And the second line, only those who can give $20. And the third line, only those who can give $100. And number one who had $100, you probably get more prophecy from God. You get more. And a lot of people spend their last time jumping in the $100 or the $50 line, you know, kind of a thing, or something in the $10 line. And guess what? And this one finally came up, you know. I said, yes, my darling, you know. Here's my $100, evangelist, you know, this kind of thing. Okay, so what happened? She gave the evangelist the money. And then she prophesied to the lead. I felt convicted in my spirit, me and my buddy. What's wrong with this? I don't believe this, man. Tell this woman that she need to quit her job and she feel like she's supposed to be a doctor, supposed to be in the medical field, and go blessed. And so she said, honey, you gave me this $100. That's what it is. God has put you, whatever you're doing, janitor, waitress, whatever, God has called you into medical ministry. And that's what it is. And she hadn't reached in her, she's just in that line. She hadn't given the lady the advance of the money yet. And she said, oh, so the Lord called me into the to leave my job and go into the medical field? Yes, my darling, yes. She says, you know what, you don't hear God. You know what, honey, I'm not a clerk. I'm not a janitor. I'm not a waitress. You know what I am? I'm a head of the nursing department over at Mount Memorial Baptist Church. And everybody said, what did she just say? She says, you as phony as a $3 bill, dear. And the Lord hadn't called me. You want me to give you $100 to tell me a lie? But I quit my job and go back. Go to medical school so I can become a nurse. When I run the whole, I'm a doctor and I run the medical department at the hospital where I am. That woman just grabbed her little stuff and walked out the back door. And we say, See, so you got to know who's talking. You got to be able to discern, and the Holy Spirit will help you. That's where you come in to proceed with caution. If a leading requires you to make a major life-changing decision in a very short period of time, you better question it, okay? Question it. And if a leading, listen at this, if a leading, somebody you need to do this, or even if a devil is some different, if a leading requires you to go deeply in debt, you know, like somebody, I need some money, and you can help me out, then you better check with the Lord. Here's another one. If a leading requires you to compromise family relationships or important friendship, question it. You think the Lord told you, you better check and question it, okay? You get a double check with the Lord. I just feel like the Lord wants you, you know, this kind of thing. If a leading creates unrest, because you must, if a leader, if you don't know me, sometimes you may think the Holy Spirit is talking to me, I don't know what to do about this situation, Lord, and you be praying, Lord. But I feel like I should do this. I feel I should give her this. I feel like I go should there. I believe I should quit this and go there and these kind of things. Let me tell you something. If a leading creates unrest in the spirit of mature Christian friends or maybe, Christian friends you share with questions, what you need to do, in other words, if a leading creates you, give you unrest and there's something wrong with that, maybe you need to check with a friend that you really trust. I'm talking about a spiritual friend. I'm not talking about an early friend, because that joker, that man, going to be telling you what he think in his flesh. Amen. I think this right here. I think she. You don't need to know. I think you talk to somebody who knows the Holy Spirit. You speak to the Holy Spirit. If a leading creates unrest in your spirit, then you need to talk to the Lord about it. Okay? Because some friends sometimes they be at their best, but it just be messed up counseling. That's all it is. Now, God wants us to test the spirits. Okay. Of course, but then he wants us to step out in faith and follow him. That's the spirit, but and you feel comfort, then step out and follow him. I know a lot of people stepped out and got beautiful jobs, married the right persons, and these kinds of things. So I want to say that when you begin to listen for God's leadings, you often won't know why. Listen now, you don't know why he's asking you to do something. He will lead you down some paths through an unknown territory, sometimes for no other reason than to teach you, you got to trust him. So that's where boy, faith come in, but just rationalize that thing in your spirit, because sometimes you may not hear him, and you're thinking, should I do this, should I do that kind of thing. Remember, the Christian's walk is based on faith, not sight. And whatever faith is impossible to please God, Christian walk is based on faith, not by sight. And then last thing I want to say, believers who make opportunities for the Holy Spirit to speak to them know that the Christian life is a continual adventure. Remember that. Believers who make opportunities for the Holy Spirit to speak to them, and you make opportunities for what? Living a righteous life and staying in prayer and staying in the Word. Okay? If you open your mind and heart to God's leading, you will be amazed of what he will do. He is more wonderful than you can imagine. Our Lord and Holy Spirit all is more wonderful than we can imagine. And he is attempting to communicate with every one of you. He wants you to be familiar with him, the Holy Spirit, that is. You have no idea how much richer and fuller and how much more exciting and more effective your life will be once you make the decision to be still and to be aware, and to obey God's leading. And may God bless you for your time. I don't know how long I was talking, but let me see. I started around about 8. Okay, so I'm good. And so I'm going to keep you any longer. I want to say God bless you, and I wish you well for the rest of the week. Good evening.